This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to another episode of New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find at NewWorldNextWeek.com. High-quality, low-quality, audio-only versions of this show for you to help spread. Put it on your alternative media site or any kind of site or social network you may be a part of. And, of course, huge thanks to ParadigmShift.tv for getting this show broadcast on Sky Satellite Channel 201. And, James, so much to go over here on our 83rd episode of New World Next Week, and we'll begin with the scandal that is topping all the news here in the States as I come to you Wednesday, September 14th. Feds raid Obama-touted solar panel company. 900 American workers lose jobs after company files bankruptcy. This from naturalnews.com. Just days after Fremont, California-based solar panel company Solyndra declared bankruptcy and the subsequent layoff of 900 employees, which was August 31st, FBI agents raided the company's headquarters on September 8th for reasons that have yet to be made public. Solyndra had received more than $500 million in stimulus funds from a federal green energy program to grow and develop new technologies, but the company has now gone downhill. Solyndra, of course, is the same company that President Obama last year touted as an excellent example of the future of green technology, of green energy, rather. While touring the company's facilities, Mr. Obama glowingly spoke of Solyndra's plan to hire 1,000 more workers and to make enough solar panels throughout its lifetime to replace 8 coal power plants. Now everything has changed, though, as the company scrambles to reorganize and deal with its massive financial problems, which it had allegedly concealed from members of Congress. Meanwhile, American taxpayers will likely end up footing the bill for this massive debacle, as most of whatever cash is retrieved from the sale of the company assets and equity will go to investors, which, according to Zero Hedge, includes the George Kaiser Family Foundation, other creditors, company employees, then whatever's left, if anything, will be returned to the government. The entire charade, however, reeks of fraud and mismanagement, and the article from Natural News does go on. And James, before I throw it over to you, a tie-in and a related bit, and I think it's helpfully, you know, illustrating a point for us that by adhering to the fake left-right political paradigm, the Rockefeller and Ford Foundation-funded website grist.org helpfully points out that the Bush administration pushed Solyndra loan guarantee for 2 years. So by doing the thing saying, no, no, it was Bush too. No, no, it's Obama's thing. I feel like shows that, of course, it's both their things. And the missions that one puppet president couldn't finish in his fake conservative administration, the phony progressive will carry the football. James.
Yeah, that's interesting how that works, isn't it? It's like when you see dung smeared all over your favorite puppet, you have to show that it's on the other puppet as well, as if that makes it any better. It's just one of those psychological games that people play when they want to choose sides in their little political puppet theater. And at this point, people who can't see past that, I figure just let them play with their puppets. They're never going to wake up. But onto the story itself, I mean, maybe Obama was right. Maybe this is the future of green energy, because we've seen just scandal after scandal and fraud after fraud coming along in green energy and just trying to catch the wave of hype surrounding this whole topic. And certainly wind power has been one of the just supreme debacles. I'm all for solar power on a individual level if people can get it, you know, for their homes and to use it for their own purposes. I think that's fine, and it helps them get off the grid, then that's even better. But these types of large industrial operations that are touted by the federal government, I mean, that's exactly what the federal government should not be doing. Why on earth do we need the government involved in this and promoting businesses and trying to get people on board? That only guarantees the fostering of corruption and fraud practices. So we don't even know why Solyndra's been raided, but I'm sure it'll come out eventually that there were kickbacks and grafts and all sorts of stuff going on here. So it's just another example of big business, big government sticking its nose and trying to prop up big business and discovering that they're all corrupt. And again, just let the kids play with their little political puppets and have their little games and play that game. But I don't want any piece of it. I don't want any part of it.
So let's throw in a quick speculation and wonder if this is connected in any way to the recent Gibson guitar raids. as I think we see so many of these things tie in with the Enviro agenda, with the eugenics agenda, with the Agenda 21 movement.
Right. Or on that note, you've got the Rossum raids as well. So so it could be another example of just a big business trying to stick its nose into certain green fads.
And of course, our misleaders will always say, well, we want to help, you know, the small businesses. But when it comes time to start doling out the money, of course, it goes to the multinational crony connected companies.
That's exactly it.
So, James, as long as we're talking political puppets, I think the second story falls right in line with the stage that we've set there with story number one. And we'll again take it from naturalnews.com. Merck-backed Rick Perry tried to mandate HPV vaccines for all young girls in Texas. Texas Governor Rick Perry can try all he wants to mimic the liberty-oriented language of his presidential candidate like Ron Paul, but it will never erase the fact that he signed an executive order in 2007 mandating that all teenage girls in the Lone Star State, starting at age 12, receive the dangerous HPV vaccine. Worse, lobbyist Mike Toomey, Merck and Company, the maker of Gardasil, hired Mike Toomey back in 2005 to promote the vaccine in Texas. He is now running Rick Perry's presidential candidacy super PAC. He wants the public to think, of course, that he supports individual liberty and states' rights, but Mr. Perry has repeatedly demonstrated that he actually supports the special interests that back him financially and politically, which in this case continues to include Merck, the main purveyor of the HPV vaccine hoax. James, I feel like this is another, it becomes helpful when the political puppets fight each other and actually bring important issues to the forefront. This story, I think, you know, had essentially disappeared, but this brings it all back up as you know, fake conservatives and Tea Party and all the phony GOP debates go on, and the complete absence of any mention of Ron Paul continues. I think when they start to fling mud at each other again, I think we can kind of win in this situation.
I think you hit the nail on the head right there. As Sibelle Edmonds pointed out to me, when these big giants fight with each other, at least they're taking each other down for us. So I think it is a good thing, and we see that in a lot of different ways, and we see that now in this phony charade of a political selection process, which we all know is rigged top to bottom and is dominated by a media that is playing favorites, and quite obviously so, and quite everyone knows it at this point. I don't think it's really much of a secret. So it is interesting to see when these types of stories come out and the big boys are throwing this type of mud at each other. At least, yeah, it does expose some real issues that are truly important, and it boggles my mind. I just cannot understand how Rick Perry could be a front runner for the GOP. I just don't understand. I guess I fundamentally don't understand what Republicans would be thinking with someone like Rick Perry. He's just such a phony in every single way, and a former Al Gore campaign manager. I mean, it's so ridiculous that you almost couldn't script something so ridiculous. But there it is, and this is an extremely important issue, and I'm glad that people are getting their minds back on the Gardasil issue, because again, this is an extremely important thing that has been going on for years now, and has been I remember when the hype was coming out about it, when this vaccine was first coming out, and of course they were just brushing under the rug all of the various problems they'd been having with this vaccine, but once again it's a question of big government, in this case the state of Texas, coming in and trying to mandate this for all 14-year-old girls, and then even now they're trying to push it on boys as well. It's so ridiculous, and this type of thing just wouldn't be possible in a system where government wasn't sticking its nose into everyone's business all the time, which is why Ron Paul is the only candidate I see out there saying anything remotely resembling the truth. I just wish he'd speak up for 9/11 truth, but I'm still think he's the best one out there right now, and certainly we could imagine that he wouldn't be mandating any vaccines, let alone HPV.
And when a lot of these stories come out, and of course when the persons of interest are questioned about it, they, you know, of course, are your kids taking it? Oh, hell no. That's generally the answer that usually comes out, whether you're talking to some of the scientists or the doctors or the phony politicians, you know, pushing these stories. Yeah, as far as how Rick Perry is suddenly, you know, considered a front runner, I think it's all about the culture creation and the media industrial complex. If you put a guy on TV enough, whether it's the fake conservative Fox News or the fake progressive Daily Show or MSNBC, if they put someone on there and says, oh, this is your guy, it's going to be people's guy, unfortunately. And I think I keep bringing up and trying to bring it up more and more is that we need some kind of media literacy. That it boggles my mind that people continually fall for this garbage again and again and again.
Well, Bilderberg push it and we eat it up, and he violates the Logan Act every time he goes to Bilderberg, but you're never going to hear about that issue being brought up by anyone, are you?
And God help us if I've seen in some kind of elite circles, as you know, you have to pay attention to the Council on Foreign Relations or the Financial Times of London and those kind of sources. I've heard it even floated of someone like Petraeus. So God help us if there's some sort of Perry Petraeus ticket, but we don't have time to go down that road. James, let's shift to our third and final story, which takes us to my beloved home state of West Virginia. And the story from allgov.com, Wi-Fi refugees shelter in West Virginia mountains. For those physically affected by wireless signals, the place to go is in a remote part of West Virginia made possible by the U.S. government. In the small town of Greenbank, population 143, residents can live free of wireless signals. Exposure to Wi-Fi and mobile phone communications can cause a variety of ailments to about 5% of Americans who suffer from electromagnetic hypersensitivity, EHS. Although the cell phone and Wi-Fi industries insist that the condition is purely psychological, sufferers of EHS insist that its symptoms range from acute headaches and skin burning to muscle twitching and chronic pain. But in the Allegheny Mountains, Greenbank's populace doesn't have to worry about EHS. That's because they live within the National Radio Quiet Zone, where wireless is banned across 13,000 square miles to prevent transmissions interfering with several radio telescopes, including those of the National Radio Astronomy Observatory and others used by the military and spy agencies at the U.S. Navy Information Operations Command, NIOC, at Sugar Grove, West Virginia. This quiet zone was established in 1958, and for anyone not living in a place like Greenbank, West Virginia, they must resort to staying indoors, literally separated from the rest of the world, using something called a Faraday cage, built of wire mesh that blocks out all radio waves. James, what is your take on this story?
Really interesting, isn't it? I mean, EHS is not something that we hear a lot about, and it's not something that I've looked a lot into, but I know it is something that affects people, and it's really interesting to even think about, because we just get placed further and further into these overall systems of all this technology around us, and you literally are just bathing in it all day, and you really don't know how it's going to affect you. So, I mean, it's interesting to think about going to a place like that and seeing what physical differences you might feel, because who knows what kind of aches and pains and whatever we're putting up with are actually the result of these types of things that are around us all the time. I mean, we really don't know until we get into some type of radio-free zone like that. But I guess you'd know, because you're that's your home state. You must know all about it.
Well, Greenbank is probably a couple hours away from where I'm from. But as we start to actually wrap it up here, James, before we run out of time, I just want to mention that I have this posted on cyberspacewar.com and have added in a lot of other articles and research bits, so you can read about a Faraday cage and more. But so many of the articles are really, you know, coming from the tech sites and Slashdot and all of those kind of sites, are really negative and mean-spirited and ad hominem attacks and technological lepers and doomsayers and idiots in West Virginia. And my question would be to all of those kind of folks is, imagine your own grandmother in this kind of situation. Imagine your sister or your uncle or somebody who says that these things cause them pain. Are you going to call them an idiot and a leper and all of those things? What if your grandmother says, hey, I find that smoking marijuana helps me feel better? Or if people say, I have what's called multiple chemical sensitivity, and you want to be scent free because of all of the stinky colognes and perfumes and petrochemicals that people wear. So I would ask people before they start to name call and poo-poo this story is to, you know, put yourself in these shoes and think if this was someone in your family.
Good points. But unfortunately, we're fresh out of time. I wanted to sing Country Roads with you, but I guess we'll just have to leave the viewers to do that in their imagination. All right, James, always is a pleasure. I'll talk to you again next week. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Take care.